Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, a recent central bank report highlighted that insurance premiums remain high despite a drop in claims. So while progress has been made with regard to insurance reform, particularly with the introduction of the personal injuries guidelines, which were confirmed by the Supreme Court to be both constitutional and legally binding last week, what more now needs to be done to reduce insurance premiums for business owners? Brian Hanley from the Alliance for Insurance Reform joins us now to share his suggestions. Brian, we'll be discussing rising insurance premiums for businesses and the action that needs to be taken to address the issue. But first, while I was preparing for this interview, I noticed that you previously held a very interesting position. You're an executive director of the Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas. So what did that role entail?
Good morning, Carl. It's lovely to be with you. Wonderful organisation that provides information, support and advice to Irish citizens in prison overseas and to their families here in Ireland. So at any one time, there are about 1,100 Irish people in prison in around 36 different countries. And so the ICPO would look to provide information and support to them. It has an extensive prison visiting scheme, a hardship fund maybe for people who have difficulty or need to pay for food, water, medicines and so on in some countries, or maybe the cost of phone calls to maintain contact with families. And it has it does a lot of post-release and resettlement work, which I think is very worthwhile as well. Because obviously, the vast majority of people will be getting out and will be, you know, returning home. And it's important they do so in a structured manner where possible, so, and a supported manner. So it reduces the likelihood of reoffending and things like that. And it does marvellous work, and an organisation I was very proud to be associated with for a long time.
Very interesting. And last year then, you joined the Alliance for Insurance Reform as its CEO. But why was the Alliance established and what organisations are involved?
So the Alliance was established in 2017. Its ultimate aim is to get affordable liability and motor insurance quickly and keep it that way. There are 46 member organisations which are essentially representative bodies. So they in turn represent about 1.6 million people, and the types of, from students to the voluntary sector. So you have the Wheel, which would represent big numbers there, the Union of Students of Ireland on that side. There's also other voluntary organisations and PPNs. Beyond that, then, we have sporting organisations like the Federation of Irish Sport, which in turn has all the sporting federations as members of it, because insurance is a significant issue for their membership too, and the cost of it. And then turning on to arts and to tourism and hospitality organisations. So everything from ISME to Vintners Hotels, Restaurants Association. We have Childminding Ireland, The Corner, CSNA, Retail Excellence, and right across the streetscape in many respects.
And how has the Alliance been working to bring about the desired list of reforms?
The primary work that has been done, as you rightly said, I joined last year, the primary focus has been trying to work with government and to raise the issues of the day with them so that they're aware in terms of implementing the policies that were agreed. There's been a very clear programme of reform that was established. I think the reform agenda had over 60 actions in it. To be fair, this year in their fourth annual report on progress, they have 95% of the reforms completed. So our primary focus was, once the reform agenda was agreed, really to work hard to push for the speedy implementation of all those reforms.
So now that 95% of those actions have been implemented, where do you go from here?
Well, really, it's about delivery at this point. And to be fair to the government, and indeed with the support of the opposition and other sectors in society, like, there really was a whole of society approach to delivering the reform agenda. But it doesn't count until it counts in the pocket, you know, in the size of the premiums for small businesses, or in the ability of organisations or indeed sectors to have access to cover, or more than one underwriter willing to quote for their business. And that's how success in the reform agenda should be measured, because it's not enough to deliver the reforms if they don't deliver for the reasons that they were established in the first place. I think the NCID report from the central bank shows that we have a way to go in that respect.
And in relation to the lack of competition in the market, will the implementation of these reforms help to open the market up and to actually attract more international insurance competitors in?
Yes, absolutely. I think Ireland is a much more attractive proposition for businesses to come in and do business. I mean, it's evident from the central bank report, it's quite profitable. I mean, the insurers in Ireland providing liability underwriting cover, saw a 55% increase in 2022 in 12 months in their profit margin, up from 9% to 14% in 1 year. So there's clearly profit to be made. The other thing is it's a much more stable market. We know that in times past, Ireland was rightly viewed internationally as a high claim, high expense market in which to do business. There's, you know, there's no doubt about it, and there are voluminous reports pointing to the size of awards and things like that. However, there has an enormous amount of work done since then that really has transformed the landscape to a profitable one and a much more stable one. An example in terms of the stability really comes from the judicial guidelines that were introduced in 2021. So these were to replace and did replace the old Book of Quantum. And the Book of Quantum, the judicial guidelines have much more precise and specific recommended awards relative to the specific injury and the degree of seriousness of that injury. So it's a much more dependable size of award that will be given, and the wide variations that might have been found with the old Book of Quantum are considerably less. Now, there still remain a few cases that have lingered that are still being processed through the old judicial guidelines. But by and large, I mean, they're in 3 years now. And so, and obviously any cases arising since 2021 would be viewed under the judicial guidelines. You also then have the reform of the duty of care last year. And this was of particular importance. So what happened there was essentially it's about people taking a bit more responsibility for their own health and safety when they're on somebody else's property in a fair and proportionate way. You know, so if somebody, for example, was leaving the shop or a supermarket and they wanted to go down to the car park, but if they decided to take a shortcut down the grassy embankment on a wet day instead of using the steps that were 100 yards further up and they slipped and fell, well, it wouldn't be reasonable or proportionate to then take a claim against the supermarket. And that's the type of thing that the changes in the law are intended to address. So I think it is an attractive market in which to do business, and certainly it's something that we want the government to promote as much as it possibly can, because we think competition is one of the key outstanding issues to be resolved.
And Brian, are you aware of any international insurers currently in talks with the central bank about entering the market?
There has been some progress on motor cover, and one, if not two, underwriters are looking to enter the Irish market. I believe Outsurance has received central bank approval, and I thought I read earlier this year they're looking to start providing cover maybe the later on this year. So we have seen new entrants come into motor, and I think that's reflected then in premiums having come down, and maybe not so much in the last year, but in the immediate years prior to that, 2022, 21 and 20, motor premiums were going down, and that was a result of the increased competition. In contrast, and in the 3 to 4 years that the office to promote insurance competition in the insurance market was established, we've had no new underwriters in the public liability space.
And of the 46 representative bodies that make up the membership of the Alliance for Insurance Reform, which of the sectors are still impacted by high premiums?
In the accommodation and food sector, between 2020 and 2022, that saw premiums increase by 24%. So far exceeding inflation and so on, which is a significant jump in the space of 2 or 3 years, and tough for businesses to manage because as we all know, there's significant pressure on the cost of doing business right now and on businesses, and their ability to absorb premium increases is somewhat diminished at the moment. So any pressure, whether it's from insurance costs or otherwise, is particularly problematic. If you look also at the arts, entertainment and recreation sector, while premiums only rose by 8% in those 3 years between 2020 and 2022, their premiums went up 111% in the 5 or 6 years previous to that.
Wow.
Which is just astronomical, because right there you're including a lot of small art organisations or recreation. You might have the voluntary sector in there. I mean, those kinds of jumps just aren't manageable or sustainable. In fact, I was talking to, I had a message from somebody who works in the recreation sector, and he was saying that insurance is still so high for him that really it has killed growth. He said, we just can't afford to grow. Other examples, transportation and storage up by 16% in 2.5 or 3 years. Human health and social work activities are up by 22% in those years. Now, bear in mind as well, it's coming from a high base. Like the government didn't introduce a whole suite of reforms because insurance premiums were satisfactory before these increases came in. I mean, they were already quite exceptional. But we're paying multiples. The Alliance this month last year undertook a survey with a number of its organisations and counterparts of a similar size and scale and specification in the north. And so an example of this was in Northern Ireland, a pub was paying $2,679 for its insurance, and a pub of similar or equal size and scale footfall was paying $17,500. That's a multiple of 6.5 times.
Wow.
We have Caravan Park in Northern Ireland, again, similar turnover and size, paying €1,089 after you convert it. And in the Republic of Ireland, paying $5,245 for their public liability cover, a multiple of 4.8. We have community circuses, the multiple was anything from 3 to 6. Thatch cottages, the multiple could be as much as 4. And I thought this was a particularly interesting one in the survey. So there were 3 adventure parks and a comparison with what's going on in Germany. And the 3 Zippit tree adventure parks in Farran and Cork, in Tiverton in Dublin, and Lochee and Roscommon are currently paying a combined annual premium of €250,000. Squirrel Scrambles Tree Adventure Park in Bray currently pays $60,000 per annum in insurance, whereas in contrast, the 6 Natter Breggis Tree Adventure Parks, 6 of them, in Germany pay €3,000 between them. It's I saw the managing director of Zippit said at the time that one of the German colleagues that he knew said recently that what he was paying in Ireland for his insurance would cover the insurance costs of the entire sector in Germany.
And in 2024 then, Brian, how are insurers here in Ireland justifying those premium differences?
It varies depending, I think, is probably the best answer. So in some cases you'll hear talk, you know, it might be pointed to inflation, I heard being mentioned yesterday, but that doesn't really accord with a 24% increase, say, in 2 or 3 years, or some of the other examples I've given you there. Nor, indeed, does it allow for other business decisions that are made in terms of the profits that are being made by the organisation. It's not a like-for-like comparison. So that might get a mention. Other times, that we need more time for changes to bed in, like the duty of care. But again, I think there should certainly be additional benefits being derived from the reform of the duty of care, because it'll reduce the number of minor cases and so on. But we don't need to wait for that for premiums to come down, because what was PIAB and is now the Injuries Resolution Board, in its annual report published last December, found that since 2019 there had been a 41% reduction in the volume of claims. So, you know, taken on that measure alone, it was reasonable to anticipate there would have been a drop in the size of premiums when that number of cases is taken out of the system in a few short years. And then you add that to the judicial guidelines coming in 2021, which have been around for a few years now, reducing the size of awards. Now, I'd accept that there is also more money to be saved, for example, if we could have a greater number of people using the Injuries Resolution Board, because that might do something about the exorbitant legal fees that are currently being charged in cases where perhaps they aren't contested cases, and therefore there's no need for major litigation driving up those cost channel. And I think that's definitely something to be looked at. But we don't need to wait for those to happen to be seeing the results. I think there's enough has already changed in the market that businesses and charities and sporting organisations have a reasonable and fair expectation to see some premiums come down.
So what would you like to see the government do next?
I think there are 3 main priorities for the government are generally what needs to happen. Is we need to see the Injury Resolution Board settle a greater number of cases. I think this is the potential to reduce those legal costs I was talking about. And to be fair, the Injuries Resolution Board has been reformed on a number of occasions. There's now a new mediation service, and they're able to retain cases for longer, because the data that came out around legal costs, it was quite significant. Compensation awards in 2022 were €163 million, around public and employer liability and so on, €163 million, with legal costs adding a further €97 million to the overall cost. I mean, that's a 60% increase to the compensation figure, which goes directly onto the premiums people pay. And I think we really need to push settlements through the Injury Resolution Board, because cases or claims that occurred post the introduction of the judicial guidelines in 2021 Well, they should all be treated the same in terms of award. Therefore, there's little advantage in settling via the litigation channel, which is where the vast majority of legal costs are then incurred, driving up premiums. And I think I'd like to see that the reforms, hopefully, that have been introduced in the last 12 to 18 months around the Injury Resolution Board will see more cases settled there. And the government needs to do more to promote that as the best way forward. The two other areas to look at are around competition. Competition is key, and as we've talked about, the Office to Promote Competition has had some success around motor insurance, but none in public liability. And I think given the benefit competition will have on premiums and access to cover, more needs to be done there to deliver, given all the reforms that have come in, because it's very difficult for business. And I speak to our members and they're like, you know, I spoke to one week before last and she said that, you know, you don't know one year to the next. If you've only one underwriter and then a broker calls you and said they're not sure they're going to be able to get cover next year, well, you're at risk of going out of business on that date. And it's a very difficult way to run and to operate when you've only one underwriter willing to provide cover. So I think that it's really important for that reason, and also indeed from a price point of view, to make it more competitive. And ultimately, the government needs to hold insurers' feet to the fire and do all it can to persuade and convince insurers to pass on savings to policyholders.
Is the level of central bank regulation for the insurance sector here in Ireland overly burdensome and causing an issue in relation to being able to attract insurers in?
It isn't something that has been prominently raised in my meetings to date. I do know there's a very fine balance to be struck in terms of the level of regulation required, but not also being too much of a deterrent. Or indeed, you know, the value of the insurance sector vis-a-vis the value of the small and medium enterprises up and down the country, and the level of regulation required there. It's something I think we need to watch now as we're kind of lifting our head and building on with new objectives and assessments really of where insurance has gotten to after the 4 years of reforms. It's a matter now of looking to see what next is needed to make sure we can deliver for businesses and charities and community groups up and down the country.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was Brian Hanley from the Alliance for Insurance Reform. And I'd like to thank Brian for sharing his thoughts on this important business issue with us this morning.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.